Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.
The championship season is over, and what a season it was.
But the best is yet to come. It's the playoffs.
Who will make it to the Premier League?
And who will be left heartbroken at Wembley?
Stay across it all with the second tier.
We're bringing you episodes after every leg.
And in between, we're revisiting the greatest moments in playoff history.
It's real conversation with two real championship obsessives.
So you can be in the know about everything happening in the playoffs.
And share all your new knowledge in the pub with your mates.
So come join us.
We're your one-stop shop for the playoffs.
Search second tier in your podcast app and hit subscribe.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Ramble Reacts. Liverpool joined Chelsea in the Carabao Cup final. I'm Marcus Speller.
And I'm Andy Brassel.
Welcome one and all. Yeah, Andy, we've got another Liverpool-Chelsea final. Isn't that great news, everybody?
Just what everyone wanted. If I can sort of fill in the listeners, Marcus at the moment, he always looks like the son of Jorge Jesus. At the moment, he looks like slightly windswept, heartbroken Jorge Jesus from when Benfica conceded that injury time winner to Porto in the penultimate game of the season that lost them the title.
How could we forget that, Andy? George. I wanted Flamengo. I wanted Flamengo Jorge Jesus winning the Copa Libertadores with two late goals, but it didn't happen.
That's you on Friday.
Yeah, I have just got back from Craven Cottage when we're recording this. And look, I mean, you know, to quote Fulham fan Hugh Grant at the start of Notting Hill, fuck. to be honest with you, that actually doesn't sum up my true feelings of this one, because despite Fulham going out of the cup, one has to be realistic. Fulham was still in it until the referee's whistle, which they gave us a bit of cheer. They gave us something towards the end. And it got the old place going in a way that you don't see too often at Craven Cottage. And for that, I very much stayed to clap the lads off at the end. What type of performance did I think it was? I thought it was an admirable performance. I think if I can choose my word correctly there. But Andy, what did you make of it all?
I think that's a fair assessment. I think... obviously it's disappointing. I think you can say that the better team won the semi. But having said that, if you look at it, Fulham played Liverpool three times this season, and they've given them a really good game every one of those three times. And given that Liverpool are clear at the top of the Premier League at the moment, given the resource that Liverpool have got, I think you can't say much more than that. Now, I can work out before this game whether Fulham would regret the short spell at Anfield where they conceded those two goals and the game completely turned around, or whether they would be thankful for the fact that they managed to take a deep breath after that and not concede anymore. Really, I really think that, a lot of things chronologically really went against Fulham in this tie. So you think of conceding those two goals in double quick time in the first leg. And I think just the little sliding doors moment, I was going to say I'm back on Hugh Grant, but that was Gwyneth Paltrow and John Hannah, wasn't it?
I could see why you thought Hugh was in that film.
it would be his cup of tea, wouldn't it?
Very much so.
Certainly 20 years ago. But I think it just all fell around that bit in the opening bit of the game, in the opening 10, 15 minutes, really, where Palinha had that chance from what was a very well rehearsed corner routine. I guess the only flaw with it was that Palinha got the chance rather than, say, Raul, for example.
But it would have been a stunning goal if he puts that away, though, Andy.
Yeah, I guess the argument is a better finisher maybe stops it or takes it differently, because he found space so well from that. And then, of course, you get the...
He couldn't slide tackle it into the net.
I love a tackle that turns into a goal. And so did Solomon Kalou back in the day. But I think... and then the Liverpool goal comes so soon after that, and it just kind of puts a pin in the atmosphere a little bit, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. And it was funny. Like, obviously, you were at the game on television. Bernd Leno was like strongly criticised for not saving that, which I think is really bloody harsh, because it was interesting. Marco Silva actually told off Timothy Castagna on his post match for letting the ball get to Luis Diaz. It's an unbelievable take from the crossfield ball, by the way, from Luis Diaz. Yeah. And the way he takes it, you think that he's going to go in the far corner. So for one, Leno is a little off balance because he's expecting it to go far post rather than near post. Also, when you see a couple of replays of it, it takes probably 2.5 deflections actually on its way in. So you always have that feeling when a goalkeeper gets a solid hand on it that, he should be saving that. I just think he's a bit unlucky.
Leno's been brilliant for Fulham this season. Mm. So I don't want to be critical. Cards on the table, everybody. I didn't actually see the goal because it was quite a shambolic situation outside the ground. I thought they were going to delay kickoff by about 15 minutes because there was still what would have been a good few thousand people outside the ground for whatever reason. I don't know what happened. Walking along Stevenage Road outside the ground, people were going, what is it? Like, it was chocker. I don't know what went on, but a lot of people would have missed that first goal. But anyway, gripes aside, I obviously have watched the highlights of it, and he might have done better one day. It does take a deflection. The fact is, from Luis Diaz's point of view, it's a great goal for him, and Luis Diaz was brilliant. I mean, he ran his socks off all night. But it does make Fulham's task a lot more difficult. And I was with Jim at the game, actually, and I was saying to Jim that the reason, not that he was sort of questioning this, but I think people might have thought as the game went on, why don't Fulham, start committing a bit more? Why don't they have a go? It's all very easy to say that. Well, you're playing a much better side, and again, if it's Arsenal or someone, you maybe. As in Arsenal playing Liverpool, but Fulham, if they start chucking men forward and if they start really going for it, they get murdered. you saw the chances that Liverpool missed. I mean, you know, Nunes might have had one. You know, Leno made a couple of decent saves in the second half. What the plan is, it's so difficult playing against Liverpool, because when they go the goal up, Liverpool look fairly comfortable and they think to themselves, do you know what, we'll just dig in. They're not going to get anything. And Fulham come forward and try and find space. They try and do this, but they couldn't really get past the Liverpool press early on in the game. And they go forward. And of course, where's the space? I mean, Raul Jimenez, you know, again, he's put in a shift, but he's not going to get much. He's very isolated up there. Willian puts in a shift, but, you know, I thought Tom Kearney was great in the centre of the pitch, but then I would, wouldn't I? But I just love the fact that if he's about to lose the ball, he'll win a foul. You know, so he's lovely in there. Polina again backing him up, putting in the big tackles and so on. But what Fulham did though is, in a game like that where it's a stalemate if Liverpool want it to be a stalemate, and then if you start to open up, it's almost like you're playing Floyd Mayweather, in the boxing ring. He'll just keep you at arm's length, keep winning the points, and if you go, right, I'm going to go for it, bang, you're on the canvas. You know, it's you've got to be careful. So, but what you can do is you can stay in the tie. And if you stay in the tie, you never know. Again, 20 minutes to go, 15 minutes to go, if you can get one. If one drops, there's a moment of quality and suddenly it's on. I didn't think that the thigh of Issa Diop would provide that, but it did. And when it went in, it was one. I mean, it was great. It was, in terms of celebrations, it's actually one of my favourite goals, definitely of this season and perhaps, you know, recent seasons of Fulham. The whole place went crazy and suddenly it was alive. Now, again, after that, Liverpool weren't really, really bothered, but it was a bit nervy, and that's what they were relying on. Stay in the tie, see if you can get something, because there's no point in losing 1-0, I understand, but if you throw men forward, like I say, you'll lose 2 or 3-0. And so for that, I think Fulham, they gave the crowd a bit of cheer, they were still in it right to the end, they just couldn't find that extra bit of quality. But I did think, you know, when Klopp brings on Konate at the end to sort of see it through, I'm a bit like, oh, come on. Come on, that's just not fair, is it? You know, but it showed you.
It's a huge that, respect, as Klopp though, said, isn't it?
Well, Klopp said it's not a night to shine, it's a night to reach the final. And they did their job. Mm. You know, we're all said and done, Fulham are out. But I came away from the ground thinking, do you know what? Actually, I did quite enjoy that, just because Fulham, I thought, were all right. And they were still in it at the end.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. And I thought, really, to be that patient, both in terms of not committing too early, and when Liverpool, who defended very well for the majority of it, just weren't giving them anything. I think to have that patience, I think was really, really impressive. To not let their anxiety to get back in the tie get on top of them, really. I think it's really easy to be overwhelmed by that anxiety. And the only time that they looked like they were going to be caught on the break, really, was when they started committing a little bit more once they're at 1-1. And by that point, you know,
you're in the last
10 minutes or whatever. Yeah, you've got to go for it. But look, Harry Wilson made an enormous difference when he came on. Not just the creation of the goal, but when you, again, I think when you have like repeated replays of the Wilson shot that Kelleher saved, and Kelleher was immaculate, by the way. That was a really, really good save, because the way that Wilson hits the ball is so clean anyway, and it just skidded a little bit off the turf, and he made a really, really good save there. Like, I know Fulham didn't have a stack of chances, but they knew they wouldn't, and that they were patient and didn't let the anxiety get away from them.
Well, they did early on. Well, early on, I mean, Silva did say they were nervous and they were a bit, you know, and that, again, the goal would testify to that. But you're right, in terms of as the game then started to play out, I think, do we go for this, do we not? But I mean, to be honest with you, I don't think they had the option of going for it, if you see what I mean.
No.
What are you going to do? No. Pump long balls up there? I mean, Van Dijk's going to eat that up all day long. You know, they don't have, he who will, you know, still be mentioned, Mitrovic anymore, to try and out-muscle him and try and win ahead of him. And even if they did, I don't think that would have made a huge difference with regards to that. Knocking it long is just, come on, that's not going to happen. trying to just find a way, trying to find a bit of a craft and so on. It's very, very difficult. But on the mention of Kelleher in goal, it was quite interesting. Alisson, of course, was on the bench, Alisson Becker. And I think it was maybe when he made that save from Harry Wilson, which my initial thoughts actually from where I was sitting was Kelleher made a bit of a meal out of it. But I haven't seen the replay of that particular incident. But Alisson was up and almost coaching him from the sideline, you know, saying like, calm it down, you know, like, and all this. And I thought that was quite interesting. And that would be, obviously they're in competition for the number one spot, but in reality they're not, because Alisson is possibly the best keeper in the world, or certainly one of the best keepers in the world. So therefore, if you know your place, realistically, to have a man like him, a player like him on the sideline, just, you know, giving you instruction, I think that is just what you need, really, if it's a cup tie and it's kind of nicely poised. So I thought that was quite, from a Liverpool point of view, I thought that was quite interesting to see. But, you know, Liverpool got the job done. I mean, the early goal does help, of course. But again, I think if it goes into extra time, you just, if it had have done, you would just fancy, you know, Diogo Jota to score, or, you know, the quality they have. Because when they bring those players off the bench, you think, oh, flipping heck, you know. But as I say, Fulham, they were there. But Liverpool, they're in the final, and they will play Chelsea once again in the final.
They know how to put on a great final, don't they?
And they know how to put on an entertaining penalty shootout, Andy. I will say that.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life throws many different challenges at us, and as a result, we all have our own sources of stress. Whether big or small, those stresses can impact our lives in unpredictable ways, and if we don't address them, they can have an outsized and unwanted impact. Therapy is a safe place in which we can address these issues, learn to understand them, and find ways to work through them. Having therapy can be beneficial to anybody, not just people who've experienced major traumas, even if you may have not considered it before. It could be simply a time for you to get things off your chest, a way to learn positive coping skills, or how to set boundaries. Ultimately, it can be whatever you need it to be. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and BetterHelp will match you to a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
I'm Martin Keown and you're listening to Football Ramble.
Yeah, maybe just once more about the Football Ramble. That'd be all right.
Hi. I'm Martin Keown and you're listening to the Football Ramble. I'm Martin Keown.
In terms of the final, Andy, Liverpool are on for a quadruple. Chelsea are desperate for a trophy win, according to Pochettino. How would you, both semi-finals have only just finished, of course, but what do you make of it?
Well, I think it's quite a curious one because over the last 20 years in particular, Chelsea versus Liverpool has been an authentic rivalry in English football. The gap between the two teams at the moment is very large. And it was quite interesting when Klopp had his post-match. And I can't remember exactly how he put it, but when he was reflecting on Chelsea also being in the final, he goes, "Oh, and Chelsea, what a story." As if they were like some underdog team that made it. It just cracked me up. I thought it was really funny. I wish I could remember his exact phrasing of it, but I thought that is an absolute Mourinho of a framing. That is,
yeah.
That was entertaining. But of course, you have to wonder: do Liverpool approach it any differently because there is that class gap? My feeling is maybe no. Because, like you were saying with Fulham, they treated Fulham with a decent amount of respect tonight. And, you know, it was the Klopp thing of, you know, you go back to earlier in his career when he's known as a serial loser of finals.
And it seems a long time ago now, by the way.
Yeah, it does. It does. I think, and then you go back to that point, like post 2018, when you go back to, I guess, 2019 Champions League final, and he's like, yeah, that's not me anymore. That's not me. And then from there, it's just the whole attitude. It's funny because, like, philosophy-wise, he couldn't be more juxtaposed to Mourinho. But that, what you were saying about, you know, finals are for winning, you know, cup games, semi-finals as well are for winning, you know, never mind about the performance. That's something that could have tumbled straight from the mouth of Jose, isn't it? So I think that little switch is quite interesting. You know, you look at the way they've played various finals and various successful finals, starting with that 2019 Champions League final. You know, maybe it won't be a classic, but I guess much of that will be governed to how many risks Chelsea are prepared to take, and I guess how clinical Chelsea can actually be.
Yeah, do you think that the finals that Klopp lost earlier on in his career have had a big influence on how he approaches finals
now and in
the last few years, in the sense of, because you talk about the Champions League final, you talk about these ones going to penalties and so on, he does sort of almost revert, and as you mentioned, Mourinho-like, it does revert to, we win this. And that's it. You just get it done.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. And I think as well, because Chelsea are quite an athletic team. And if I think that there was a major difference between Fulham and Liverpool tonight, quite apart from the quality of players and resource and etc., I just thought athletically, that Liverpool had the drop on them. That really made the difference. And I think you look at that game tonight, and whereas it doesn't explain everything that Liverpool have done to be so improved this season, I think you look at the midfield and you think, yeah, this is the moments that they reinforce this midfield with, because all their midfield were fantastic. I mean, obviously Harvey Elliott was still there last season, and because their midfield was generally so static, he stood out a mile.
He got a bit of treatment from the Fulham fans, Andy.
Didn't he? It was discernible on the television.
Yeah, you don't expect, it's not very Fulhamish, generally speaking, but they certainly let him know that they're not best pleased with the decisions he's made.
You clapped your clapper at him, did you?
I did. I had my clapper in my hand all game. And I let him have it, Andy, quite frankly. Do you know what, actually, on the subject of former Fulham players who are on Liverpool's books, do you see that Fabio Carvalho's gone on loan to Hull City?
I did, yeah.
Now, look, Hull City, they're a big club and all that. But as a Fulham fan, you just think, why did you go? You could have probably been starting or at least playing a lot of Premier League minutes for Fulham, and he's gone to Liverpool, and he's like, yeah, they're off back to the Championship.
It is quite funny when you see that, you know, you think RB Leipzig is the perfect place for young players like him to develop, and then you think actually he's joined an actually not that short list of really talented young players who've gone and absolutely fallen on their face at RB Leipzig. Emil Smith Rowe was one of them. Elias Moriba, who came through the Barcelona Academy, he ended up there and it didn't work out for him at all as well. I remember a couple of years ago, I did an At The Match on a very, very cold Monday night at Leipzig. And on their club TV channel, they had this man who's the presenter. He was dressed like a sort of Butlins compere, I suppose. And he had this red and white bow tie. It looked ridiculous. Uh-huh. Anyway,
talking about people's mother-in-laws.
Yeah, that sort of thing. Yeah, nothing blue. Nothing blue, though. And there was this young lad behind him in a massive overcoat playing table football. And he was like, oh, yeah, he must be a competition winner. And then I got a little bit closer. And I'm like, it's Emil Smith Rowe. And he starts talking about, this is the currently injured young English international, Emil Smith Rowe, who's like playing some of our fans at table football. And that was the pinnacle of his spell at Leipzig.
That is superb stuff. Yeah. My goodness, there's got to be a bit more of a feature in that, Andy. Anyway, I'll tell you what, Andy, this did a piss off the Fulham fans. At the full-time whistle, the chap who comes on the pitch and... is the sort of the match day presenter, if you like, on a stadium host, should I say.
Yeah.
Walks on the pitch at full time and he goes, full time at Craven Cottage, congratulations to Liverpool for reaching the final. Boo! It's just like, come on, man. What are you doing?
Time and a place.
Get the hard luck, Fulham. Great effort, lads. All that stuff in. If you do want to do your congratulations, but don't open with that, for crying out loud, as a little tip.
As Jurgen Klopp walked off. As Jurgen Klopp walked off being pelted by empty cans of tropical Fanta.
Jurgen Klopp probably had his arm around the guy's shoulder. Come on. But yes, you mentioned RB Leipzig. A little bit of German football for you now, everybody. Just a tiny little drop of it. Eric Dier made his Bayern debut on the same evening that Fulham crashed out of the semi-final of the Carabao Cup. Andy, how did Mr. Dier get on for Bayern?
Well, he got on eventually. Dier Upamecano pulled his hamstring at the end of the first half. And so Dier was stripped, ready to come on. And it was exactly the sort of Bavarian knight to look like a Nordic warrior because it was obviously freezing. And then Thomas Tuchel decided, we'll give him 5 minutes, see if he can run it off. Yeah, because people generally run off pulled hamstrings, don't they? So anyway, Dier had to go put a massive coat on and then come out and do it for the second half instead. Pretty solid in the second half against Union Berlin. His major contribution was in this mad incident, actually, when Nenad Bjelica, the coach of Union Berlin, had an argument with Leroy Sané and hit him in the face twice. And... Before he was crazy. Before getting obviously sent to the stand where he continued absolutely raging. But Dier was the first to step in, and you thought, oh, that's a lovely, reassuring cupboard of a man to break up fights at the very least, isn't it?
Yeah. Blimey, O'Reilly. The other piece of news that you've probably seen yourselves, but Ivory Coast snuck through. In the African Cup of Nations tonight.
Never in doubt, Spells. Never in doubt.
Well, they've been rewarded with a game against Senegal. So they're going to have to improve because Senegal, I think you described them as the most reliable side in AFCON at the moment. We do have a tasty one with Nigeria facing Cameroon, which is always a big one against those two. So, but Cape Verde are playing Mauritania. So one of those sides will go through, and we will have a Guinea in the next round as well, because Equatorial Guinea are playing regular Guinea. That's what's happening there. So
regular Guinea.
Marvellous. Yeah.
You're not even Equatorial, mate.
Yeah. Well, it's like Fanta and Tropical Fanta. I'll just have a regular Fanta. You know, excellent. Anyway... I think we should go before I disrespect any more countries. Pleasure, everybody. Thanks very much. Do join us on Friday for a preview ahead of the FA Cup fourth round, where Fulham are back in cup action, of course. In the meantime, find us on Twitter, which is apparently known as X at the moment, TikTok, Instagram and YouTube @Football Ramble. And remember to subscribe on your podcast app. Thank you very much, Andy Brassel.
Thank you.
And thank you, Fulham. You did us proud, despite going out. Lots of love. See you Friday.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
The championship season is over, and what a season it was.
But the best is yet to come. It's the playoffs.
Who will make it to the Premier League?
And who will be left heartbroken at Wembley?
Stay across it all with the second tier.
We're bringing you episodes after every leg.
And in between, we're revisiting the greatest moments in playoff history.
It's real conversation with two real championship obsessives.
So you can be in the know about everything happening in the playoffs.
And share all your new knowledge in the pub with your mates.
So come join us.
We're your one-stop shop for the playoffs.
Search second tier in your podcast app and hit subscribe.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
A little something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional, unprofessional. So if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.